I'm here with Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of The Duran. Alexander, let's talk about the impeachment inquiry vote. And it pretty much went along party lines. I don't think there was any surprise there. Two Democrats actually voted to not pass Pelosi's affirmation that the impeachment inquiry is going okay. It wasn't even an authorization.
No.
Wasn't a vote to impeach. It was nothing. It was complete theater. And that's what we were actually saying before this video. The whole thing's theater.
Yes.
No Republicans straight either. I mean, it was the Republicans stood firm and voted right down party lines, which is a good sign for Trump. But Alexander, get into the vote that took place today and the theatrics of it all, because we also have a story breaking from Devin Nunes that says that Vindman, the guy that's this decorated war hero that is also saying Trump did a quid pro quo with Ukraine, was heavily coached by Shifty Schiff. And this, I don't think this comes as a surprise either, to be honest, that he's being coached by Schiff either. And, you know, this guy, to me, for lack of a better word, is, I don't know where his loyalty lies with the U.S. or with the Ukraine, but it definitely, definitely lies with the military industrial complex and the war machine. That's for sure.
No.
So, Alexander, get into these topics.
I think you put your finger on it exactly, Alex. Theater is what we are seeing. This is not an vote in the House of Representatives to authorize an impeachment. This was a vote to affirm an impeachment investigation, which was supposedly set up and underway for the last couple of weeks. Only, as we've pointed out many times on our video, it is an investigation or an inquiry, if you like, which is breaching every known rule of due process, with witnesses being interviewed in private circumstances in a basement room by Adam Schiff. And it's becoming increasingly obvious to me that these witnesses, these so-called witnesses, in most cases are not witnesses at all, but disaffected people of the US bureaucracy who have been called to give evidence by the Democrats and who are being choreographed by the Democrats. And of course, what you said about Nunes complaining that this American colonel, Vindman, that his evidence was clearly being prompted by Shift, further confirms this. This is not an investigation. It's not even an inquisition, properly speaking, as I referred to it before. It's a very carefully choreographed piece of political theater. The one thing I'm going to say about it is that it's obviously not succeeding on its own terms, because the fact that not a single Republican in the House of Representatives supported this non-resolution on this non-impeachment is a sign that when this thing is eventually referred to the Senate, which presumably at some point it will be, it has no chance of success in the Senate, because I cannot believe that Republicans in the Senate will support what Republicans in the House have rejected.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think that Trump should be feeling pretty good after today's vote. And it's a good sign that the Republicans stood firm and stood in line, because the whole thing is pure theatrics.
Yes.
We have the transcript. I mean, that's all anyone has to say at this point, is that we have the damn transcript. So everything else is just beyond stupid.
Absolutely. And in fact, we've had evidence over the course of the day from a member of the National Security Council who was listening into the call, who said that as far as he was concerned, there was nothing illegal said or nothing inappropriate said over the course of that call, and that this transcript, which we have, is full and accurate. So, I mean, there really is no there here. I mean, it's as I said, a complete piece of theatre. But of course, we've had all sorts of bits and bobs of news coming out about this ridiculous, and I really do mean ridiculous, but also, frankly, very sinister inquiry, or rather non-inquiry, or show that Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi are forcing upon us over the course of the day. Over the course of the last few days, we've had, as we've said, Lieutenant Colonel Rinbund, who, to my mind, actually gave no evidence at all. I mean, the only thing that he was able to say was that some of his edits weren't included in the transcript. But when you actually examine those edits, they don't change the substance of the transcript of the telephone call between Zelensky and Trump in any way. They don't lead one to think that that call would have been any, you know, that transcript of that call would have been in any different in terms of substance. He also clearly doesn't like Donald Trump's policies. He doesn't like the fact that Donald Trump wants better relations with Russia and doesn't seem to be so keen on Ukraine. Well, first of all, that may be his opinion, but it's not his business to subvert the president of the United States. The fact that the president has different policies to the ones he wants is not a reason to impeach him. And the other thing, of course, is that we've learned today the name of the probable name of the whistleblower. And what we learn about him, frankly, doesn't look at all good.
Yeah, I agree with you on those points as well, Alexandra. This Vidmet guy is very anti-Russia. He's very anti-Trump. He's pure military-industrial complex.
Yes.
I mean, I think this guy sits on all kinds of neocon think tanks and boards and consults them. I mean, he was consulting Ukraine. He was consulting the government of Ukraine against Giuliani. So that says it all right there. He should be investigated, if anything. It's absolutely obvious that he is, you know, one of Adam Schiff's partisan hacks, this guy.
Yes.
Crystal clear.
Well, to my mind, what it shows is that his loyalties are, one, to Ukraine, or to be more precise, to a faction within Ukraine that wants to bring Ukraine into NATO and, you know, wage war, essentially, against Russia. And the other is, his other loyalty are to the various people that you correctly described, the military-industrial complex, the deep state intelligence agencies, all of these people.
Like National Security Council and things that he sits on.
Exactly, that which also want confrontation with Russia and which don't agree with Donald Trump's policies. But I come back to what I said. Disagreement with Donald Trump's policies doesn't give you the right to come along and support an impeachment inquiry against the chief executive of the government you serve and the military in which you also serve. I mean, I've seen some people talk about his gross insubordination. That, to my mind, is what it amounts to. This is not someone who has provided any substantive evidence so far as I can see that would facilitate an impeachment inquiry at all. He just doesn't like what the president's been doing. And, I mean, with this Charamella character is just as bad.
Yeah, let's get into that. We'll close out on Vidmet. Vidmet's major beef is that a couple of words he wanted in that transcript didn't get in. Big deal.
That's a big deal. Exactly.
Big deal.
These changes, these amendments that he's been trying to insert into the transcript are completely inconsequential. The media's been trying to spin this to imply that they show that the transcript is in some way untrustworthy. As far as I can see, the only substantive change this Vindman is insisting on is that in one place where it refers to the company, it should have said Burisma. Well, you know, no other company is being discussed here. Of course that refers to Burisma. I mean, this is an absolute nonsense of an issue. And can I come back to, of course, the point that Delvin Nunes was making, which you touched on before? It seems, from what Nunes says, and I found Nunes, by the way, very reliable in everything that he said about both Russiagate and Ukrainegate, that Adam Schiff was basically prompting every question and every answer and was blocking any attempts by the Republicans to ask really searching questions of this witness of their own.
Okay, so now let's get to Eric Charamella, and he is reportedly the whistleblower. This is according to Real Clear Investigations, which is affiliated with Real Clear Politics. They lean left, these guys, for the most part, Real Clear Politics. So for this story to break via them is pretty incredible to begin with. And I think it's pretty reliable. These guys are Washington insiders. It was broken by Paul Sperry, Real Clear Investigations, where he's connected the dots, Alexander, and he's come to the conclusion that it is this guy, Eric Charamella. This is not that much of a secret inside of D.C. The White House knows, CNN knows, the CIA knows, the FBI knows, the House knows, the Senate knows. Just no one is leaking his name, which is also astonishing.
Yes.
That in D.C., which is famous for leaking, actually Paul Sperry in his article for Real Clear Investigation says, for a town that leaks like a sieve, Washington has done an astonishingly effective job keeping from the American public the name of the anonymous whistleblower. He's not even a whistleblower, this guy. But this is who I would say 90% chance. This is who it is. 99% chance, maybe even.
Yeah. I would say 99%.
Yeah.
I will be extremely surprised if it is not this man. I mean, can I just say, not only does this article seem to be extremely well informed, but as you rightly say, it makes the point that the name of this whistleblower is universally known across the whole of Washington. And that makes it almost inconceivable, to my way of thinking, that if it is not, that if Charamella is not the man, we would not have had denials about it by now. Yeah. In fact, I understand that his lawyers over the course of the day, or rather the whistleblower's lawyers, whistleblower in inverted commas, because he's not a whistleblower, as you rightly say, the whistleblower's lawyers are apparently edging towards, or have been edging towards, admitting that it is indeed him. Now, if it is him, and as I said, I'm 99.9% sure it is him, then frankly, a reliable, or perhaps more accurately, a more partisan witness, it is almost impossible to conceive of. This is a man who apparently worked on the Security Council. He worked for Joe Biden. He worked for Susan Rice.
I'll read you a list.
Well, there you go. Read it to me, yes.
The White House whistleblower, Eric Charamella Alexander, registered Democrat, worked for Obama, worked with Joe Biden, worked for CIA Director John Brennan, vocal critic of Trump, helped initiate the Russia collusion investigation hoax, is a known leaker, worked with Victoria Nuland in Ukraine, accompanied Joe Biden to Ukraine on Air Force Two. The list goes on and on and on with this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. And I mean, note specifically that he has a previous history of leaking. I mean, he is apparently the man who previously leaked the story back in 2017 that Trump supposedly bragged to Sergei Lavrov, when the Russian foreign minister, when they met in the Oval Office, that he'd got Comey sacked. That was completely not true. That whole leak was nonsense. So we're dealing here with somebody who is a vehement anti-Trumper and a right-wingman, a fervid supporter of confrontation with Russia in Ukraine, who strongly and profoundly disagrees with Donald Trump's foreign policy. So, you know, this man is not a reliable witness. Witnesses, of course, has to also be put in inverted commas, because it's not clear that he's witnessed anything. As we've discussed previously, his so-called complaint is entirely based on hearsay, on what other people supposedly told him. But what's also very concerning is he's used the device of the whistleblower, of the whistleblower protections, in order to leak all this information about a private telephone call, a confidential telephone call between the President of the United States and a foreign leader, the President of the Ukraine, in order to get a impeachment inquiry underway. On top of all of that, it seems now fairly clearly confirmed that he's also worked very closely with Adam Schiff and the staff of the House Intelligence Committee, which reports to Adam Schiff. So again, I mean, it doesn't look good, frankly. And it's no surprise to me that not a single Republican in the House of Representatives supported this this so-called impeachment inquiry.
Yeah, he's also worked with Alexandra Chalupa. That's documented documents from 2015. That he's met with her, I believe, twice, those documents state. That is confirmed as well. So he's worked with Alexandra Chalupa. And let me read you some more history about this guy, Eric Ciaramella. Boy, Alexander, when Schumer said six ways to Sunday, when he made that warning on Rachel Maddow's show, which I think was a complete setup. I think that was scripted.
Yes.
I think the deep state wanted to send Trump a message.
Yes.
So they commissioned, you know, the deep state shill, Rachel Maddow. They got Schumer to get on the show, and Schumer gave his warning to Trump, get in line or else. I think we're starting to, we've been seeing it, but now we're really starting to see it come in full effect because they are throwing everything at Trump, the
yes.
deep state and the
yes.
CIA. They're throwing everything at Trump. So from NOQ report, Alexander, Eric Ciaramella, Schiff's whistleblower. Eric Ciaramella was a CIA analyst and expert on Ukraine and Russia. He was detailed to the Obama White House NSC as director of Baltic and Eastern European Affairs, including Ukraine. Ciaramella was a known Susan Rice protege. He is said to have traveled to Ukraine with Vice President Joe Biden twice. He was a close associate of State Department anti-Trump partisan Victoria Nuland. Ciaramella was involved in the 2016 correspondence about the $1 billion loan guarantee Biden held up until prosecutor Victor Shokin was fired. Ciaramella was said to be traveling with Biden on that trip. He was certainly in the loop on all things Ukraine, including disinformation on Paul Manafort and Trump passed to Victoria Nuland by Ukrainian sources. Clinton donor Viktor Pinchuk sent Ukrainian Member of Parliament Olga Belkova to meet with Ciaramella. One day before, Belkova also met with infamous John McCain aide David Kramer. My God, this is their whistleblower, this guy?
Well, indeed, quite so. And I mean, here we see it. The entire story, if you like, of the Democratic Party's collusion with a powerful political faction in Ukraine, the faction that seized power in 2014 through the February 2014 Maidan coup, which established itself as the government of Ukraine, and which clearly, through Alexandra Chalupa and various other people, and as it's been acknowledged and admitted in Ukraine, interfered in the 2016 election. We have it all there. And this person seems to have been right at the middle of it, right in the middle of it. I cannot help but wonder when I hear this catalogue of the things that Eric Ciaramella was up to, whether possibly he too is one of the people who's been looked into by the Barr-Durham investigation into the origins of Russiagate.
This guy was there during the origins of Maidan, Alexander. This guy.
Well, origins of Maidan, origins of Russiagate, origins of Ukrainegate. It's the same people. They turn up all the time.
We heard the same names, Susan Rice.
Absolutely. Susan Rice, who was, of course, busy unmasking people in the Trump transition team, in the run-up to the inauguration, to Donald Trump's inauguration, and who was receiving letters from the British government telling her that Christopher Steele and his dossier was unreliable and was apparently unconcerned by them.
Victoria Nuland, who said F the EU, married to the Kagan, Robert Kagan, I believe is his first indeed. Name. The Kagans, who are chief architects of the project for the New American Century. Yes. These guys are head honcho neocons. Doesn't get much higher on the neocon ladder than these guys.
No, I mean, John exactly Brennan. The same Victoria. John Brennan. I mean, the same Victoria Nuland who was doling out the cookies on Maidan Square, picking the members of the Ukrainian cabinet, and boycotting a session of the Munich Security Conference when the German delegation was supposed to speak, in part because she was so upset because of the Minsk agreement that had been negotiated by Merkel with Putin, and which is supposed to provide the roadmap away from the end of the conflict in Ukraine. That's the Nuland Victoria Nuland we're talking about. So it's the same. It's the same gang. It's the same people. They turn up again and again. Of course, John Brennan, as the CIA chief, as you rightly say, he is the man who was involved orchestrating these events in Ukraine. He is the man who's spreading all the stories about Donald Trump being a Russian agent. He is the man who's feeding Obama with information contained in envelopes that supposedly corroborate Christopher Steele's dossier from his pet agents in Moscow, who it turns out are not working in the Kremlin after all, as he led Obama to believe. So there we go. It's always the same people. And this revelation has, to my thinking, exposed even further the totally partisan nature of this whole impeachment so-called inquiry, which is not really an inquiry.
Yeah, it's exposed that this is truly a deep state coup against a sitting president. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
They don't like his policies in Syria. They don't like his policies in Ukraine. They don't like the fact that he wants to improve relations with Russia. So they spent every single waking minute of since he was inaugurated, and since before he was inaugurated, firstly to stop him becoming president and then to remove him.
All right, so if we get 100% confirmation that it is Eric Ciaramella, Trump is going to have a field day with this, correct, Alexander? I mean, the minute he starts tweeting this stuff out, it's lights out for the Democrats and Brennan and these guys as well.
I think so. I mean, absolutely. I mean, I think to my mind, actually, this impeachment is clearly doomed because, as I said, if no Republican in the House is supporting it, there's no chance that any Republicans in the Senate, or at least enough Republicans in the Senate, will support it either. But, I mean, the more we learn about the people who are driving this thing, the more clear it becomes that this is a grotesquely partisan affair. Impeachment is supposed to be non-partisan. I remember when Richard Nixon, the decision was made to impeach him, the reason Nixon resigned is because Republicans in the Senate, utterly shocked by some of the criminal acts that had been committed by the Nixon White House, told him they could no longer support him. Well, this isn't going to fly because clearly, first of all, there are no crimes here committed by Donald Trump. But secondly, this is grossly and obviously political. It's a partisan hit job. It's nothing else. Well, it is one other thing. It's an attempt to stop a proper investigation into the origins of Russiagate. That investigation, which we know is currently underway.
All right, Alexander Mercurius, Editor-in-Chief of The Duran, thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Hit that notifications bell and smash that like. Also, go to SoundCloud, or iTunes and follow us there for audio podcast versions of this video, and donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation helps keep this channel going, and we really appreciate all the donations that we get. We also appreciate it when you go to the Duran shop and you can pick up Duran merchandise. We've got great shirts, all kinds of apparel and hats, and of course our famous magic mugs, which Alexander has in his hand right there.
Our very famous magic mugs, and I noticed with pleasure that one of our viewers commented on them in a thread to one of our videos and was saying how he and his wife were listening and watching us apparently whilst drinking coffee from our magic mugs. And what a good idea that is, because these are beautiful mugs, 15 ounces, perfect for drinking coffee. I actually drink tea from mine myself. Today I've been drinking Queen Anne tea, by the way, which is a slightly lighter winter tea that you drink with milk. And it's a beautiful tea, and it's perfect to drink from a mug like this. And this particular mug that I've got here has got the double-headed eagle of Moscow, which is not the same as the double-headed eagle of the Duran. Our double-headed eagle is different. We chose it because it looks in both directions, so it covers both the east and the west. And also the eagle has the most amazing eyesight of all predatory birds. So just as we are able to keep an eye on all the world, the eagle is able to keep its eye on many things too. So it's exactly the right symbol for us. And you see it on my beautiful 100% cotton shirt, really elegant, marvelous polo shirt. My wife loves to see me in these polo shirts. Many people have commented on how smart I look in them. We've got other beautiful shirts, some like this, in different colors. We also have t-shirts, short sleeve t-shirts, long sleeve t-shirts. We also have hats, hoodies, v-neck shirts, all sorts of great things, stickers, books on our shop. You can find them all there. Alex has been refreshing our product line, and of course our viewers love them. They've all commented on the high quality of the merchandise you can find there. So help the Duran, help yourself, go to our shop. Alex will tell you how to do it.
You'll find a link to the Duran shop in the description box down below, theduranshop.com. Alexander Mercuris, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.